O Lord, our Maker, Redeemer, and Comforter, we have come together to worship you. Draw near to us through your word and assure us of your loving kindness. Curb our wandering thoughts so that with undivided attention we may hear your voice and sing your praise. Open our hearts by your Holy Spirit to the proclamation of your word so that we repent of our sins, trust in Jesus as our Savior, and grow in grace and holiness. Hear us for his sake. Amen. Welcome to each of you to our service today in the name of the Lord Jesus, our blessed Savior God, through whom we have been blessed with that perfect cleansing of the soul, deliverance from the germs and the contagion of sin that we need in order to be holy in his sight through faith in him, and finally to be blessed with the presence, being in his presence someday in heaven. We pray the Spirit of God will be poured out upon us today as we worship our Savior God in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. We've come into the presence of God who has created us to love and serve Him as His dear children, but we have disobeyed Him and deserve only His wrath and punishment. Therefore, let us confess our sins to Him and plead for His mercy. Merciful Father in heaven, I am altogether sinful from birth. In countless ways I have sinned against you and do not deserve to be called your child. But trusting in Jesus, my Savior, I pray, have mercy on me according to your unfailing love. Cleanse me from my sin and take away my guilt. God, our Heavenly Father, has forgiven you all of your sins. By the perfect life and the innocent death of our Lord Jesus Christ, He's removed your guilt forever, and you are His own dear child. May God grant us grace and strength to live according to His will. Amen. Lord, have mercy on us. Christ, have mercy on us. Lord, have mercy on us. Glory to God, we give you thanks and praise. Of heavenly joy and peace on earth we sing. We worship you, to you our hearts we raise. Lord God, almighty Father, heavenly King. Lord Jesus Christ, the Father's only Son, you bore for us the load of this world's sin. O Lamb of God, your glorious victory won, receive our prayer, grant us your peace within. Alone, O Christ, you only are the Lord, at God's right and in majesty most high, who with the Spirit worshipped and adored, with all the heavenly host we glorify. Let us pray. Lord of all power and might, author and giver of all good things, graft in our hearts the love of your name. Increase in us true religion, nourish us with all goodness, and bring forth in us the fruit of good works. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Good morning. Our text, our first Bible lesson today, taken from the Old Testament book of Deuteronomy, chapter 4, where we find the Lord prescribing many laws and rules and commandments for the Israelites of old to observe. And in keeping with our theme today of the service of cleanliness, we're reminded of how the only way that we can be deemed clean and righteous and having kept all of God's rules and commands is, of course, only through faith in Jesus, who has kept all the laws and commands of God that we, in our imperfection, are unable to do. Deuteronomy 4, 1-2 and 5-8. Hear, O Israel, now the decrees and laws I'm about to teach you. Follow them, so that you may live and may go in and take possession of the land that the Lord, the God of your fathers, is giving you. Do not add to what I command you, and do not subtract from it, but keep the commands of the Lord your God that I give you. See, I've taught you decrees and laws as the Lord my God commanded me, so that you may follow them in the land you are entering to take possession of. Observe them carefully, for this will show your wisdom and your understanding to the nations who will hear about all these decrees and say, surely this great nation is a wise and understanding people. What other nation is so great as to have their gods near them the way the Lord our God is near us whenever we pray to him? And what other nation is so great as to have such righteous decrees and laws as this body of laws I am setting before you today? Here ends the first lesson. Join in responsively reading a portion from Psalm 119. Oh, how I love your law.
I meditate on it all day long.
I have more insight than all my teachers.
For I meditate on your statutes.
I have more understanding than the elders. I have kept my feet from every evil path.
So that I might obey your word.
I have not departed from your laws.
For you yourself have taught me.
How sweet are your words to my taste.
Sweeter than honey to my mouth.
Our next lesson is drawn from Paul's epistle to the Christians in Ephesus in the sixth chapter. Somewhat familiar section in which the Apostle Paul outlines for the Christians then and for us today the pieces of spiritual weaponry or armament that we are to take as Christians in our battle of faith, trusting once again always and alone in Jesus as our Savior, who alone fought the battle against sin perfectly in our stead. Ephesians 6:10-20. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armor of God, so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground, and after you have done everything, to stand. Stand firm then with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all this, take up the shield of faith, with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, and pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the saints. Pray also for me that whenever I open my mouth, words may be given me so that I will fearlessly make known the mystery of the gospel for which I am an ambassador in chains. Pray that I may declare it fearlessly as I should. Here ends the second lesson. Blessed are those who hear the word of God and treasure it. Alleluia.
Alleluia. Alleluia. Hallelujah. These words are written that we may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. Alleluia, alleluia, alleluia.
Please stand as we join in confessing our faith this morning in the words of the Nicene Creed on the last page of the liturgy insert. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary and was made man, and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried. And the third day he rose again, according to the Scriptures, and ascended into heaven, and sits at the right hand of the Father. And he will come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom will have no end. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets. And I believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and from His Son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. The Word of God for consideration today is found recorded in Mark's Gospel, selected verses from chapter 7. The Pharisees and some of the teachers of the law who had come from Jerusalem gathered around Jesus and saw some of his disciples eating food with hands that were unclean, that is, unwashed. The Pharisees and all the Jews do not eat unless they give their hands a ceremonial washing, holding to the tradition of the elders. When they come from the marketplace, they do not eat unless they wash. And they observe many other traditions, such as the washing of cups, pitchers, and kettles. So the Pharisees and teachers of the law asked Jesus, "Why don't your disciples live according to the tradition of the elders instead of eating their food with unclean hands?" He replied, "Isaiah was right when he prophesied about you hypocrites. As it is written, 'These people honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. They worship me in vain. Their teachings are but rules taught by men.' You have let go of the commands of God and are holding on to the traditions of men." Again, Jesus called the crowd to him and said, "Listen to me, everyone, and understand this. Nothing outside a man can make him unclean by going into him. Rather, it is what comes out of a man that makes him unclean. For from within, out of men's hearts, come evil thoughts, sexual immorality, theft, murder, adultery, greed, malice, deceit, lewdness, envy, slander, arrogance, and folly. All these evils come from inside and make a man unclean." So far the text. Jesus' name, dearly beloved of God, hand sanitizers. We see them pretty much everywhere these days. Since the COVID virus hit, I think everyone now has a heightened awareness of the importance of avoiding germs. And it's recognized that, like, washing your hands a lot and using those hand sanitizers will help guard against picking up germs that could cause the spread of disease. There are a lot of Bible passages that also speak of the importance of cleanliness. We read one of them, for example, in Psalm 24, where King David wrote, "Who may ascend the hill of the Lord? Who may stand in his holy place? He who has clean hands and a pure heart." Of course, David was referring not to having just clean hands in a physical sense, but spiritually, which is clear when he added that thought, clean hands and a pure heart. Today we want to consider that very concept of cleanliness and uncleanliness before God. First, how uncleanliness does not come from having unwashed hands before God, but it comes from evil thoughts and actions within, and most importantly, the thought of how we are cleaned. We get cleanliness spiritually, and that is only through repentance and faith in Jesus. Now, in today's text, we meet up with two religious groups of Jesus' day. There was the Pharisees and the teachers of the law, also referred to many times as the scribes. The Pharisees were that group of religious leaders whose prime concern was the keeping of God's laws and observing various traditions. And they were very meticulous about this, staying in line with God's laws and many traditions, which they themselves, in fact, had invented and they kept separate from people who did not observe God's laws and the various traditions. The scribes, they were the Bible scholars. I think of them as the professional Bible students and interpreters of God's laws and the traditions. And we're told that they prescribed, secular history records this, prescribed like 39 actions that you were forbidden to do on the Sabbath. Things like reaping grain and traveling more than 2/3 of a mile from your house. And one day as Jesus was traveling with his disciples through Galilee, representatives from these two religious groups confronted Jesus in order to voice to him a very serious concern they had about what they deemed to be a very serious matter. "We observed your disciples eating food with unwashed hands." And that was one of their traditions. If you go to the marketplace to buy food and you come back home, the first thing you got to do is wash your hands. And if you don't, that's a sin. Now, in the book of Leviticus, you probably know if you ever read that book through, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, it did contain a lot of the prescribed ritual or ceremonial washings which God enacted for his Old Testament people Israel to observe. For example, if they came into contact with the dead body of an animal, they had to wash their clothes, and they were considered ceremonially unclean for 24 hours. On Yom Kippur, that was the Day of Atonement, the man whose responsibility it was to release the scapegoat, if you know what happened on that day, you know, the priest would put his hand on the scapegoat, pronounce on it all the sins of the people, and have a man come forward and take it out in the desert to let it go, where no one would ever see it again. That man, when he came back home from performing that task, had to wash all his clothes and take a bath according to God's ceremonial laws. And the purpose of the Lord enacted laws like these, and there are many, many others, is to remind his people that the fabric of their souls had a contagion of sin deeply embedded in it. They needed a Savior to clean their sin-filthy hearts if they wished to stand before him someday. And he was going to send them a Savior to do that, to wash them. Look forward with joy to his coming. And then when the Savior finally arrived on the scene, carried out his work as mankind's Savior, soul cleaner, that's when all those ritual ceremonial washings of the Old Testament, all those ceremonial laws, lost their purpose and became obsolete. That is what the Pharisees and the scribes failed to see and believe. They had rejected their Savior, the very one God had sent to sanitize their souls from the deadly sin contagion. And when the disciples sat down for a meal without washing their hands, that was one of their traditions, they became upset, because for them it was all about outward compliance to church rules and regulations. Having a clean heart was not for them important. And that's why Jesus said to them, "Isaiah was right when he prophesied about you hypocrites, as it's written, 'These people honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. They worship me in vain. Their teachings are but rules taught by men.' You've let go of the commands of God and are holding on to the traditions of men." Lesson that Jesus would teach us here and have us learn from all this is what makes us filthy, full of germs, in his eyes, is not a failure for us to observe man-made rules and regulations, like It's a sin if you eat pork products, or if you worship on another day or set that as your regular worship day, another day other than Saturday, or if you do any manual labor on the Lord's Day, on Sunday, like mowing your lawn or doing dishes, you're guilty of breaking God's law. None of these things, Jesus says, are what make a person unclean to him. So what does? And we notice how Jesus, in a very pointed way, provides the answer to that question in our text after having that encounter with the scribes and the Pharisees. He called the people in front of him and he said, "Nothing outside a man can make him unclean by going into him. It's what comes out of a man that makes him unclean. From within, out of men's hearts come evil thoughts, sexual immorality, theft, murder, adultery, greed, malice, deceit, lewdness, envy, slander, arrogance, and folly. All these evils come from the inside of a man and make him unclean." And this is one of the fundamental differences, dear friends, between all false religions of the world and the true Bible-based Christianity. It's a commonly held belief out there in the world and in all false religions that people are basically good, or at least many of the false religions teach that, basically good inside, and they become evil only by being corrupted by forces from the outside, like society or environment. According to Jesus, the heart of a man is by nature dirty, very, very corrupt. We're born with a sinful heart, handed down by sinful parents. Like David wrote in another psalm, "Behold, I was brought forth in iniquity, and in sin my mother conceived me." And that's why also then the evil actions come in the lives of people, including in the lives of Christians, because we still have that sin nature. Bad attitudes, the vices that he enumerates here in our text. So what's the rescue? What's the rescue from that sin contagion that we are all born with, that original sin that we have, and then the sins of action that flow from our unclean hearts by nature? Well, you know, and you've learned it from the Scriptures. The Holy Spirit has blessed you with this blessed knowledge that the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses us from all sin. And David, who wrote in that same psalm, it's Psalm 51, later on, he said, "Lord, you cleanse me with hyssop, and I will be clean, and wash me, and I'll be whiter than snow. Create in me a pure heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart. These, O God, you will not despise." So yeah, we've learned to know that in the blessed gospel. Jesus is our soul sanitizer. He's done that for us by keeping all of God's commands perfectly in our stead. He also died then as our substitute. Again, that was the picture of the scapegoat that was pointing the people forward to Jesus when he died on the cross. Christ died as our scapegoat. And then the Lord sent his Spirit to us through the Word to bless us with repentance and faith in Jesus. Paul writes in Ephesians that Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her to make her holy and to cleanse her by the washing with water through the Word, reference to baptism, and to present her to himself as a radiant church without stain or wrinkle or any other blemish, but holy and blameless in his sight. Glory be to Jesus. Before closing this morning, I just wanted to call your remembrance to that very powerful episode from the Maundy Thursday evening when Jesus was assembled with his disciples in the upper room of Jerusalem. You'll recall how when the supper began, he got down on his hands and feet, started to clean off their dirty feet. Peter, remember, he thirsty for bad Jesus. You can't do that. You're our Lord and Master. It's beneath you to do that. That won't happen. Jesus said, unless I wash you, Peter, you have no part with me. And then he replied, well then, don't stop with my feet, wash my whole body, my head, my hands, everything. And Jesus then said, a person who's had a bath needs only to wash his feet, and he's completely clean. So it was the Lord, what truth was he presenting there? Very beautiful, and it's like just as a person who's had a bath or has taken a shower, they're feeling squeaky clean. They walk outside, maybe in the backyard, and they get some dirt or a smudge on their feet, and they come back inside. They don't have to take another shower or another bath. They just wash off their feet. So the justified child of God through faith in Jesus is clean. All of our sins have been blotted out in his sight. But we still do need, and it's very important as Christians, because we still have that sin nature, to keep coming back for Jesus to clean off the smudges that we pick up as we walk through this sinful world, and because of the weakness of our flesh that leads us still to break God's laws and commands in various ways. So find joy in that, in the Lord's daily supply of grace and forgiveness. Keep going back to his word, where he teaches you and strengthens your faith in his saving work, in which he has provided for you perfect righteousness. Remember the meaning of your baptism, what Luther wrote about that. Signifies that the old Adam in us is to be drowned by daily contrition and repentance, and is to die with all sins and evil desires, so that our new man may daily come forth and arise and live before God in righteousness and holiness. And also, keep coming to his holy supper faithfully, where he gives to you the pledge of his forgiveness by giving you with the bread and wine the very body and blood that he gave on the cross to make you spiritually clean. Let it be our daily prayer. Finish then thy new creation, pure and spotless let us be. Let us see thy great salvation perfectly restored in thee, changed from glory into glory, till in heaven we take our place, till we cast our crowns before thee, lost in wonder, love, and praise. Amen. And the peace of God, which is able to protect you far more effectively than the human mind, it keep your heart and mind through Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen. Let us arise and pray. O God, Lord of hosts, we thank you for the gift of your only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, and for the perfect way that he made your love and will known to mankind, for his perfect example of true humanity, and for his innocent suffering and death in our place, through which we've received perfect cleansing for our sins and eternal life. Since your word is a lamp to our feet and your gospel a pure light for our path, O Father, we thank and praise you for the gift of your Holy Spirit in your word, through which we gain understanding, patience, comfort, and hope both now and for eternity. Grant that we may always live in the Spirit, so that, led and empowered by Him, we may renounce sin and wickedness in our lives and instead follow righteousness, godliness, faith, and love. And finally, in your eternal kingdom, receive the inheritance you've promised to us through Jesus. Uphold in our land all who are in positions of authority, so that in the maintenance of law and order we may lead a quiet and peaceable life and serve you freely. Bless our homes and instruct our parents, so that your pure word will not depart from us, but instead be continued in the lives of our children. Guide our youth so that they may learn to love their Savior and to live His word, and in faith and purity to live happy, productive lives. We pray for all who must walk along the path that is thorny, the path of affliction with sickness, suffering, or peril. Let their way be filled with light that shines more and more brightly to a perfect day. These and all the hidden yearnings of our souls, along with any other needs you see for our well-being, grant to us because of the merits of our Lord Jesus, in whose name we also join to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. rise. Our liturgy continues, middle of page 17. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. We lift them up to the Lord. It is right and beneficial that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, O Lord, Holy Father, Almighty and Everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord. And we praise you especially for the glorious resurrection of your Son, the true Passover Lamb, who by his sacrifice took away the sins of the world, and by his resurrection restored eternal life. Therefore, with angels and archangels, and with all the company of heaven, we magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying,
Holy, holy Lord, God of Sabaoth adored, heaven and earth with full acclaim, the glory of your name. Sing Hosanna in the highest, sing Hosanna to the Lord. Truly blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord.
Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. When he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples and said, Take and eat, this is my body which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. The same way also he took the cup after supper, gave thanks, and gave it to them saying, Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me. The peace of the Lord be with you always.
Lamb of God, O Christ our Lord, whose blood once shed true life restored, impart your joy, our faith increase, sustain with your mercy and grant us your peace.
May be seated, and our communicants may now come forward as the usher directs. Please rise. The closing liturgy begins on the top of page 20.
Let your servant depart in heavenly peace, for I have seen the glory of your redeeming grace, a light to lead the Gentiles unto your holy hill, the glory of your people, your chosen Israel. A glory to the Father, a glory to the Son, a glory to the Spirit, forever three in one. For as in the beginning is now, shall ever be, God's triune name resounding through all eternity.
Go in peace and serve the Lord with gladness.
My heart has now become your dwelling, O blessed Holy Trinity. With angels I your before my soul the highest good.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace.
Amen, amen, amen.
We sing the final stanza.
Cast our crown.